Thanks, Brian. Thanks, guys. Well, as Norton said, we're starting a new series today, and it's going to run through the whole month of July, and I am really excited about this series for a couple reasons. First off, this is our shared Church in Denver summer series. So if you're new to New Denver, you haven't been around for very long, you might not know it, but we are at New Denver are extremely committed to collaborating and cooperating with other churches around the city so that we can each be better. We're all on the hashtag same team, one body, we are one church together. And so we try to find ways to do that through the year, and sharing a series together is one great way to do that. And so we've done that through the Church Cooperative of Denver, which is a local network that we helped to start. But we've also done that for years through other churches that we just have great friendships with. And I'm going to embarrass somebody here today. So Jared Mackey, my good friend, is sitting up front. He's a pastor at a church, family of churches, actually down in Englewood called the Sacred Grace. And Jared started this years ago. He has been around the city for and doing ministry for 20 plus years. He's kind of the bishop. We don't have bishops, but he's kind of the bishop of Denver and has been doing this whole thing. So around the city, there's six or seven churches, I think, that are going to be a part of this, doing the Proverbs series. And actually, some of us will go to other churches. Nort and I are going to speak at a couple different churches. So that's just really fun. It's a great expression of the unity of the body of Christ in Denver, which I love. The second reason I'm excited about this series is that we're going to be in this really unique and interesting book, as Norton mentioned, called the Book of Proverbs. So the Book of Proverbs comes out of the Hebrew or Jewish scriptures, which we call the Old Testament. And it's a book that's focused on a topic that I don't think gets enough airplay these days, frankly. The whole book is about the pursuit of wisdom. Now, wisdom isn't something that's very fashionable or about. It's not something that's really sexy or exciting. Today, I would say the concept that garners way more of our attention is information. Information. We live in an information age. We live in an information society. Many of us work in an information economy. We are just overwhelmed by information. In fact, all of us today are carrying around devices, information technology devices. Our lives are saturated in a way that they never have been before with information. And there's a good reason for that. Because if you haven't noticed, we're alive at a really, really exciting time in human history. Unlike any other group of people, any other generation of people that has come before us, we have access to produce and take in more information than any human beings who have ever lived on the planet before. Just to put this into perspective for you, so that you know how much information we have access to and how much of it we're actually producing and capturing, right now, if you look at all of the information that we have access to, so all the digitized pictures and books and films and television shows, musical recordings, if you look at all of that, 90% of it, 90% of the world's store of information has been produced in the last 2 years. 2 years, the last 2 years. Let that sink in. So if you go back and you combine together all of the ancient writings, all the holy books of every religion in the world, all the writings of Plato and Aristotle, all of them, the music of Mozart and Beethoven, all of it, all of that combined together, 90% of what we have collected has been produced in the last 2 years. It's kind of hard to wrap your mind around just how much information that we are producing right now. In fact, this is even more mind-blowing. In just 2 days, we produce as much information and store as much information as was produced from the beginning of human history up until 2003. Every 2 days. Now, this doesn't mean that we're more creative or interesting than human beings were in the past. People have always created information. They've always created things. But our means for being able to store and retrieve those things has changed with technology. So where's all this information coming from? Where is this? If we're producing more in 2 days than was produced from the dawn of man up until 2003, where's it all coming from? Well, this may not surprise some of you. Every minute, every single minute, the human race produces over 204 million emails. 204 million emails every minute. Multiply that by whoever's good at math. Multiply that by 30 minutes, and that's how many is going to be produced while I'm talking to you this morning. We send 100,000 messages every minute on Twitter. We share 650,000 pieces of content on Facebook, and we upload 48 hours of video every minute is uploaded to YouTube. We are literally drowning in information. We have access to more information than any human beings who have ever lived before us. But the fact is, information is useless in and of itself unless we can make some sense of it, unless we can turn it into something that we can understand, we can make meaning out of it and understand it. And that's the process of taking information and turning it into knowledge. And here again, technology is really, really helping us with that. Google, their primary means, you know, for making money is to create a search engine. Well, it may not be so much anymore. They started as a company who wanted to help you find information and help you make sense of it. So they got really good at bringing the right information so that you could, they could put it in front of you, and then you could read it and make sense of it and turn it into knowledge, something you could do with it. Can I just say right now, thank God for Google and YouTube, or I wouldn't know how to fix anything. Like, if I want to fix something that's broken, the first thing I do is go to YouTube, and somebody has made a video about how to fix it or repair it. I love that. And yet, with all of this information, with all of this information and all of the knowledge that's produced, all that we have access to and all that we know how to do, all that technology enables us to know how to do, it still feels like we're missing something. It feels like we struggle in our day-to-day life to make the right choices or to feel like we're making choices that are moving in a good direction. And that's because I think we lack something vital to living the life, the flourishing kind of life that God wants us to live. It's we lack wisdom. We lack wisdom. So what is wisdom? Well, I made this little definition, and it's not perfect, but I like it, and it sort of fits with this idea of information and knowledge. I think wisdom is the capacity to take information and knowledge and to use it to make good judgments and choices about life. It's the ability to take all that information, all the know-how, and then to be able to do something with it, to put it into practice in a positive and a helpful and a healthy sort of a way. So you can have the information that the hike you're about to do is 10 miles, and you can have the information that it's going to be 90 degrees outside, and you can have the knowledge and the understanding about the human body that if exposed to heat for that amount of time and you exert yourself in that kind of way, that you will need water, that you perspire, and that your body loses water. Wisdom is deciding to take a water bottle on your trip. See the difference? You can have all the information, and you can still not make a wise choice. So wisdom is this idea of being able to take all of these pieces and put them together. You can have the information about how much money you have in your account. You can know how much money you make each month. You can know what your bills are. You can even have the knowledge of being able to use software or use mathematics to be able to calculate how much do you spend versus how much do you make and how much is going in, how much is coming out. But wisdom is the decision to spend less than you earn and not go into debt. That's the difference between wisdom and information or knowledge. And it doesn't just stop there. I mean, life gets far more complex than taking water on a hike or balancing your checkbook. I mean, a lot of you are in places in your career where you're trying to decide, should I stay here in Denver or should I move and take a job in another city? Now, you can collect all the information about that decision. How much does the job pay that you're thinking about taking? What are the benefits? What's the cost of living? Almost guaranteed, unless you're moving to California, houses cost less wherever you're going. And on, you can collect all that and you can know all that. But how do you know if that's a wise decision for you and for your family or not? How about relationships? This is a place we desperately need wisdom. Is the person I'm dating someone that I should commit the rest of my life to? I mean, you can take personality tests. You can find out more about their family and friends. You can spend time with them. You can observe. You can collect all that information. But how do you know if it's a wise decision for you or not? And I think we struggle because here's the thing I know about you, because I know it's true about me. We doubt our ability to make good decisions, to make wise decisions. Why? Because we look back and we think about all of the regrets, all of the bad decisions that we made. And we were so certain in that moment. Nobody goes out and plans to make bad decisions. That's one thing I can tell you as a pastor. One of the privileges that I get of being a part of people's lives is I get invited into the decision-making process for a lot of people. And I can tell you, not one single person goes into a big decision wanting to wreck their life. Nobody goes into a short-term decision about the person they're thinking about marrying, thinking, oh, I'm going to marry this person and I know we're going to be divorced in 3 years. Like, nobody goes into it with that mindset. Nobody plans to go into a business arrangement that goes bad and ends up costing you a lot of money. Nobody makes investments that they're sure are going to lose them money. No, we all are pretty confident about those things on the front end, but our regrets undermine our confidence and our ability to make good decision going forward. And the problem is we don't know what we don't know. We lack wisdom. We lack insight. We lack the ability to make wise decisions. Nobody plans to make bad decisions. Nobody plans to make unwise decisions. But for many of us, we're not planning not to. We're not doing anything to help make better decisions in our future or our present than we have in our past. So how can we do that? How can we become people who make better decisions going forward and learn from the past? How is it that we can incorporate good decision-making, taking all this information and the knowledge that we have available to make good, wise decisions about life? Well, that's the pursuit of wisdom. That's what I believe the pursuit of wisdom is all about. And the good news for us today is I think we can grow in wisdom. It is possible to become more wise over time. And despite what you may think, or despite the popular conception, you don't automatically get wiser as you get older. Age does not equal wisdom. I've met lots of older people who are not very wise and have made terrible decisions with their life. They're very unwise. They're foolish people. And contrary to that, I've met really young people who have wisdom beyond their years. Wisdom can be sought. Wisdom can be pursued. There's a verse at the very beginning of the book of Proverbs. It's not the one we're going to focus on today, but there's a picture out in the lobby. You can see it as we go out. It sort of depicts it. It's Proverbs 1:20, and it says that wisdom, it personifies wisdom. It says, wisdom is like a woman who's standing and shouting into the street while nobody listens. And she laments and says, how long will people go on just ignoring wisdom? How long will the foolish, the simple, and those who mock wisdom continue to make these mistakes? It's like a woman holding a bullhorn, shouting out in the middle of the crowd as they walk by her, all sort of staring at their phones, like ignoring what she has to say. That's the picture that I have in my mind. This month, we're turning our attention to the voice of Lady Wisdom. We're turning our attention to the Proverbs, a place that we can learn how do we make good life decisions. And so today we're going to start that journey. And I want to start by talking about a trap that we can potentially fall into when we come to the book of Proverbs and in the Bible in general, actually. And I want to talk about how we easily fall into that trap and how we can avoid it. And to do that, we're going to jump right into a couple of Proverbs, two Proverbs that sit right back to back. And I'm going to expose this is how that we can fall into this trap. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about how we avoid it. So I'm going to jump right in. If you want to follow along, you can, but I'm going to put the verses on the screen. We're going to look first at a proverb that comes out of chapter 26, and it's in verse 4, Proverbs 26, verse 4. And it says this: do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Okay, so we can probably all relate to what the author is talking about here. We've all been in a situation or a circumstance where someone was saying something foolish. Someone was saying something inflammatory or ridiculous or just obnoxious. Maybe it was for you a dinner party with that friend who always loves to bring up politics and mix it up and loves to say things that tick people off, and you just want him to shut up because nobody's going to agree on this, and he just continues to push the issue and everybody gets uncomfortable and nobody likes listening to him. Maybe for you, it's when you go to the Rockies game and that opposing fan is two rows behind you and he will just not shut up all game long. He's just in everybody's ear. And it's obnoxious and he's using bad language. And so what do you do? Like, that's a question that we have in those moments. Maybe you felt that sense of, do I say something? Do I confront that person? Do I challenge them? Do I stand up? It's just not right what's going on. What do I do? And so the writer of this proverb says, here's what you need to do when you're in this situation. Here's what you need to do. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. No, it's a warning, right? This is a warning to us that says, if you fight fire with fire, if you come back at that person, if you just simply attack them in the same way and you spew back at them the same things that they're putting out, if you stand up and confront the fan two rows back, guess what? There's a decent chance that it's going to escalate and there will be two fools in the equation. And you will be the other one. That if you answer a fool according to his folly, if you answer a fool in the foolish way that they're sort of spewing out nonsense, then you will be just like him. And we get this, right? We understand that there's wisdom in that. So the proverb warns us, don't do that. It's not wise. It's foolish. Okay, got it. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be just like him. Got it. Now look at the very next verse. We've fallen into the trap already. Look at the very next verse in Proverbs. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Wait a minute. That's the exact opposite of what the previous verse just said. Wait a minute. Now, some of you may be thinking this, like, this is why I can't stand the Bible. It's full of contradictions. It's ridiculous. Like, why would anybody read this book? It's so obviously contradictory. You put these two things, they're right there back to back. Couldn't an intelligent person see that it's telling you to do the opposite thing and that's not possible? And so to heck with the Bible. Like who needs that? And I think Lady Wisdom hears that line of thinking and just shakes her head and turns and walks away. You missed it. You fell into the trap. And the problem is when we come to the book of Proverbs, we can easily come with the same mindset that we come to the search for information or knowledge. We have a question that we want to get answered. And so we go to it just like we go to Google or YouTube or Quora, and we ask our question and we want the answer. We want the answer that is true in all places and in all circumstances and at all times. Just give me the answer. I'm sorry. Wisdom doesn't work that way. Wisdom is always rooted and grounded in the context, the ground you're standing on, and the circumstances of the decision that you're making. It's not as simple as a one-size-fits-all kind of answer. What do we say when we're in a situation where someone's saying foolish or ridiculous or obnoxious things? What do we do in those kinds of situations? Well, that depends. I mean, if you're at a game or a concert and there's an intoxicated moron who's spewing stuff out and he's 6'5" and really big, like maybe just go get security. You don't need to call him out maybe that because it's probably going to escalate. We've seen these things happen, right? Someone tries to do the right thing by confronting someone and that person's just not in a place to hear correction and it escalates. And now it's either a verbal or a physical altercation. The Proverbs would say, don't do that. Don't answer a fool according to his folly, or you'll be just like him. You'll be the second fool in the equation. But there are other times. Maybe you're at that dinner party and that friend is spewing his political nonsense that he always spews, and he's quoting these articles that are at best half-truths. And at worst, they're just total fabrications, stuff he's read on the internet and he's researched about this issue. And you know, it's absolutely wrong. You have contrary facts. Contrary to popular belief today, there are objective facts that are true and there are things that are false. It's not just your opinion that matters. There are things that can be known and that can be definably said. That is just wrong. And in that situation, maybe you're doing him a favor by confronting him with the reality that his sources are not that great and he's just wrong. Or he's just going to continue to do that. He's going to go to the next friend group or dinner party and he's just going to keep spewing it. And he may do that anyway. That's what fools do. But the point is the proverb says, if you don't correct him, he's going to continue to think he's wise in his own eyes. You see, it depends on the situation. Wisdom always comes from the ground that you're standing on. It comes from the situation and the circumstances and the people that are involved in whatever decision it is that you're trying to make. If you're looking for easy answers and cheap guarantees, go check out Tony Robbins or The Secret or any other number of self-help books that can tell you, here's the formula for success in life. Don't bother with the Bible, because the Bible takes life seriously and life is complex. The decisions that you face are complex. The choices that we have to make about really important issues aren't as easy as a one-size-fits-all sort of answer. But that's the value of wisdom, is that it can be acquired. We can learn to make better decisions, and we can learn to make wise choices and good decisions more and more and more. But if wise decisions, if these choices that we're making, if they do come from the ground that we're standing on, and if it is contextual, what's a way that we know? How can we know? How can we discern how to make sense of these Proverbs that we read? Because the book of Proverbs is fantastic. It's full of these kinds of proverbial sayings, these kinds of nuggets of wisdom that we take in. But what do we do with them? If we can't just apply them in every circumstance, in all places, at all times, what do we do with them? Well, in some ways, it's more information that you're taking in, and that's good. Information and knowledge aren't bad. We need information. We need knowledge. And the book of Proverbs gives us a lot of value by exposing us to wise sayings that have come, that have been tested by time, and that have come from really, really wise people. And they've been captured and stored for thousands of years. And so there's a lot of benefit in sort of immersing ourselves in the Proverbs and seeing our own life and circumstances reflected in the situations and the circumstances that the authors write about. But if the ground that we're standing on is the place that real wisdom comes from, and we have to make that decision in that time, in that place, is there a way, is there something that we can do to be able to apply wisdom? And I think there is. And this is a question that I got, I stole from a pastor that I worked for a number of years. And he introduced me to this probably over 10 years ago. And it's just stuck with me as such a good and helpful way to think about the process of how we make wise decisions. And it incorporates this idea that it emerges from context. And the question is this. Here's the question. In light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? So this question helps us to take stock in light of my past experience. See, every one of us has a different story and a different set of experiences, a different family of origin. And so based on that, there may be some choices and some decisions that are not wise for you to make that would be perfectly fine for someone else to make. In light of my past experience, what is the wise choice in this situation? In light of my current circumstances, what's the situation going on? Who is involved? What's my current reality? How do I take stock of what my present situation is and ask the question, what's the wise choice in this? And then looking out into the future, and asking what, based on what my hopes and my dreams are for the future, what is it that would be the wise choice in this? Because I know for every one of you, you have decisions that you've made that were about the short term. This is where we make some of our biggest choices that we regret, is we make short-term decisions based on emotion or based on our short-term immediate desires, our desire for immediate gratification. If you don't believe me, just do a little rewind and think about all the people you dated in high school or in college. Because there was a certain set of motivation, right? And they were there and they were beautiful, but they weren't necessarily the person that was right for you based on your future hopes and dreams. Asking ourselves this question and thinking about our past, our present, and our future can help us to step back and see objectively, to see the context of the decision in a wider frame. And it gives us time to be able to sort through the wisdom that we've heard from the Proverbs and from other sources and help us to figure out what's the right wisdom that I need to apply in this situation. But this question isn't a question that we ask of ourselves alone. No, because the thing about us, the thing about you, and the thing about me is we have an enormous power to rationalize just about anything. I can talk myself into just about anything and convince myself that it's a wise decision. I can be self-deluded like no one else, and so can you. And this is where community plays such a tremendous part in the role of wisdom. Do you have people in your life who are also seeking wisdom? Other people, in particular, for those of you who consider yourself followers of Jesus, you need people in your life who are also on that journey and can think through the lens of what is a wise decision as it relates to my faith? What does the scripture have to say about this decision and this choice? And if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, not sure what you believe about Jesus or God, that's fine. You're actually in a great place. The proverb says that, if you walk with wise people, you actually get wiser. So congratulations. Just being here today was a good choice. But if you're on that journey of faith, and if you're trying to grow in your faith, having other people with you who can help to see objectively, and that you can go to them and say, hey, you know me, you've known me for a while, in light of my past, what do you think about this decision? In light of the circumstances, in light of the situation, this decision that I'm facing, what's a good decision? And you know me, you know, I've shared with you about my hopes and my dreams financially and my career and, relationally. What do you think? And invite them into that decision. And be wise enough to take the wisdom that comes through other people. And last but certainly not least, we need to ask God this question. We just spent the last 8 weeks in a series talking about how the Holy Spirit is present to us and with us and in us and nudges us and guides us and gives us input. God wants to give us wisdom supernaturally, speaking through the Holy Spirit, sometimes through people, sometimes simply through prayer. God wants to give us wisdom. Jesus' half-brother James wrote a book that's in the New Testament, and in that he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, which is all of us, let's be honest, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, and he gives generously to those who ask. God wants to help you make good, wise decisions and to experience a good and flourishing kind of life. So to ask God, God, in light of my past, you were there before I was born. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You know me like no one else. You know every one of my days. In light of that, is this wise? You know my current circumstances, and you know what, God? You know the things that I don't know. You see the things I do not see. You understand the things I do not understand. God, give me wisdom and clarity and insight to be able to see this situation as you see it. And God, you know the future plans you have for me. Unlike anyone else, I know that you hold my future and that you want good for me. I know that you want to guide me down a good path, not always the path that leads to the perfect results, not the path that's free of pain, maybe not the path that's comfortable for me, but I trust you with my future. And in light of that, what's a wise choice or decision that I can make? I believe that that's a prayer that God wants to answer for us. So the book of Proverbs isn't a book of self-help. It's not a collection of easy answers. It's not a little book of snippets that you can put on your desk and just apply and just plug it into every situation. But it is a tremendous book that gives us insight into all of the kinds of situations that we will face in life, and we will see our life reflected there. And so I hope you come back this month. I hope you continue to engage on Sundays. But the truth is, we're just scratching the surface of this book. And so I want to encourage you not only to come on Sundays and to listen to those who will be teaching, talk about the Proverbs that they're going to talk about and talk about the subjects that those Proverbs address, because that's going to be great. But it's there's so much more. And faith, our life of faith, isn't just about one day a week. So we created these little cards. You're going to get one on the way out. And it's just a little bit of a guide to how you can engage with the book of Proverbs on your own. There are 31 days in the month of July, and there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Isn't that convenient? God just sort of architected that. No, I don't really think that's, it's just a great coincidence, right? So we could take one chapter a day and read through it. Maybe you don't have to read the whole thing. There's just lots of these little bulleted sayings. What I do often is just to read through the book. And when I come to one that really strikes me, or it's a situation that I'm facing, I'll stop and just reflect on that, the wisdom that's contained there, and ask God what he's trying to say to me through that proverb. So I hope that you'll take some time this week and engage with the book. And come back on Sundays. Lady Wisdom is out there, and she's calling out to all of us. And I think she desperately wants to impart to us the wisdom that we need to make good decisions in our life. The question is, are we going to tune down some of the other voices, the voices of information and knowledge that are sort of saturating our lives every day, and make some time for her or not? I hope you will. Let's pray as we wrap up and ask that God would help us to do that. Father, thank you that you see us and that you know us, and that life is not, it doesn't consist in making the good or right decisions. You walk through all of the good and the bad, the ups and downs with us. And there's nothing we can do to make you love us less. And there's nothing we can do to make you love us more. But you want us to experience a good and flourishing life. Not always comfortable, not always easy, not always free from pain. But you want us to make good and wise decisions. Thank you for the authors of Proverbs who collected these sayings of wisdom so many years ago, and for the faithful people through the years who've maintained this book and passed it down to us. May we, as we engage in it this month, God, may we just listen and tune in to the voice of wisdom. May we see our lives reflected in the pages of this book. And may we take to heart. And we have the clarity to see the ways that you're calling us to put into practice the things that we read. And God, then give us the courage to actually step out and do those things. We pray these things through the Son and by the Spirit. Amen.